Welcome back to the Supported CEO Podcast. We are trying something new with the podcast because we believe in living a life that's bigger than business. So we're going to try to start out our episodes by talking about something outside of business. And this week, we want to start with a conversation about fall. Our experience of fall as Americans in Europe has been interesting, so we're just going to get straight into it for just a few minutes, and then we'll get into the actual topic of the episode. But we would also love your feedback as we are trying this out. You know, what do you think? Do you like to know little tidbits of personal things? Let us know.
Welcome to the Supported CEO Podcast. I'm Ellie Runkles.
And I'm Jenny Kraus. We're on a mission to help exhausted entrepreneurs feel a little less alone as you navigate what it looks like to create space to rest and recover while also running a business and managing all of life's to-dos that don't just stop when you need to take a break.
We've got a lot to cover, so let's get straight into the conversations we should all be having more of.
Let's go.
As we said, we're going to start by talking about fall. As we are recording this week, Halloween was this week. It will be last week by the time you're listening. And the fall like season has really started. And our experience of it has been very different in Europe than what we knew living in the US. Fall is, in my experience, it's like we just go straight to Christmas here. We don't really have the fall season, the fall decor. Halloween is not really celebrated much here. So it's just been very, very different experience here.
And when you say here, are you referring to Portugal?
Here. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm referring to Portugal. In Spain, I will say there was a little bit more, especially like as we were like the last few years in Spain, it was starting to become more of a thing. Portugal is like, in my experience of where I live in Portugal, I can't speak for the entire country and everybody's experience, but in Portugal, it has kind of felt like going almost back in time a little bit compared to the way things happen, the way things are in a lot of the rest of Europe. Portugal is just kind of like a little bit developmentally behind like some of the new like modern trends in a lot of ways. And so in Portugal, I have seen like very little reference to Halloween or anything like that. In Spain, there was a little bit more, but still like much more low key compared to what I knew in the US, even like 10 years ago, the last time I was in the US on Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just in general, like my take in Europe is that we're typically about like 6-7 years behind like trends in America. Like we just don't get things like at the same time. Like it's just not one-to-one. Like Ellie and I both lived abroad for like 10 years. And so I think our experience is like, when I go back to America, sometimes I'm just like overloaded with how much has changed, even in like a single year or even half a year. Because I do go back annually. But with fall here in Germany, same experience. It's like summer. Now, I live in Munich, and we have Oktoberfest. So I think, like, the fall is, like, us looking forward to Oktoberfest. Mm. And so then Oktoberfest happens, but then it's, like, we just go straight into Christmas, but it's not until like mid-Octoberfest, which happens in September, that the leaves start to change and the weather changes and it feels like fall here. But Halloween just has never been a thing here until 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, I started seeing like Halloween stuff in the stores. It is still not as mainstream as like what I grew up with, like in America, and what I've now seen it's even become, which is not even what I grew up with and know from what I hear. But yeah, my kids are 8 and five and a half, and they went trick-or-treating last year for the very first time in their life. And they did it again this year, this past weekend, and they loved it. But it's just, before that, it's just never been a thing. And now stores kind of like sell Halloween candy, or you'll see Halloween costumes, but you don't see like these big, like just the consumerism of the holiday of like Halloween buckets and all of that. Like, they can dress up and go to school one day, but like they don't have Halloween parties at school. It's just like, oh, it's a Halloween day and you can wear a costume or not wear a costume. Like, it's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. My experience of Halloween in Spain was like, really, I started to notice it more when I moved out of the city and was living in a smaller town that was more like houses, individual houses where you have like a street, mm-hmm. where like, you know, you have your individual like door, like front door. Whereas mm-hmm. when I was living in the city, it's like apartment buildings. And I know in the US, in cities like New York and places like that, there are systems for like trick-or-treating in a big city. I have never experienced that. Mm-hmm. And so I think like when I was living in Madrid, we didn't see anything really at all. When I moved to more of like a suburban, like with houses, with like individual houses, we did start getting some trick-or-treaters. But the main thing that stood out to me is like Halloween costumes and things like that were very focused on like the like scary elements. Like in the US, I love the like fun costumes and like mm-hmm. fun, like getting creative with costumes and things like that. Where as Halloween has like sort of become more of a thing here, it's like the scary element is like really like emphasized more, I feel like, mm-hmm. and less of the like fun creative side of it.
Mm-hmm. Now to that, I will say, so here in Germany in February, we have Fasching, and that is the equivalent to Carnival, like in the US or in South America. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we dress up and they have big gatherings in the city and parades, and those costumes are more like funny.
Right. Yeah. We have Carnival too, like in February time. I think it correlates with Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have the same thing in Spain mm-hmm. and similar in Portugal too. Like the more fun costumes come out.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons why Halloween just wasn't really a thing, because like we were already doing costumes and stuff like that happens in February. Mm-hmm. You know, so now it's like becoming more of a thing at the end of October as well. And like you said, so my experience too is, you know, I live in the city, so like I live like in an apartment building. We have some trick-or-treaters that will come to our door. But my in-laws live in like a suburban area outside of Berlin, and their whole neighborhood like really went all in with Halloween and trick-or-treat as of last year. And so that's where my kids go to do trick-or-treating, because it coincides with their fall break. So I think that probably more suburban areas probably do trick-or-treating more. But before we get into our topic, which we're going to do here in a minute, let's talk about pumpkin spice.
Yes. Yeah. So talking about fall, I know like pumpkin spice is like such a big thing in the US, and it's really interesting. Like, I personally am a big fan of pumpkin spice. I like pumpkin spice. I actually, like, when I was in the US on this last trip, stocked up on pumpkin spice like rooibos tea from Trader Joe's, and I've got like this big stock of that I'm making my way through. So I'm a big fan of pumpkin spice, but it's a very like new concept here. Like, we have it at Starbucks, but it's like not, it was years later. Like, I remember when I first came to Europe, because 10 years ago pumpkin spice was already like a very established thing in the US. I was looking for my pumpkin spice lattes at Starbucks, mm-hmm. and that was not a thing. It was like several years later that finally started becoming a thing.
Yeah. I mean, we just got like the Christmas cups, like the holiday cups from Starbucks, like a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, like, we went through the whole year of just like regular cups.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, I think a big part of that is because we don't have Thanksgiving here. Like, coming from the U.S., Thanksgiving is, like, a big major holiday that people have their, like, holiday decorations and, like, traditions around and things like that. So it's, like, we kind of culturally create, like, a whole month of, like, thinking about and focusing on fall in that way before going straight into Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think without that holiday, it's, like, okay, maybe we might do a little bit for Halloween, but it's really like once November hits, it's like, this is Christmas season. And so like the Christmas lights are already starting to come up. Like the stores are like all kind of shifted gears to like focusing on Christmas. And there's really like no fall decorations, fall like pumpkin flavoring, anything like that.
I'm going to end this topic on a cliffhanger for us to do a follow-up in a future episode. So I'm gonna drop something right here. In Germany, a lot of people only put their Christmas tree up for the week of Christmas.
All right, we're just gonna leave that cliffhanger because I have a lot of thoughts, but we'll talk about this in a future episode. All right, so let's get into what we're actually here to talk about today, which is how you can use content consumption in a more intentional way and as a source of journaling inspiration. So if you're listening to this episode the week that it comes out, we are right in the middle of our social media free week challenge, where we are collectively taking a break from social media to quiet the noise, create space to reconnect with your intuition and reclaim your vision for your life and business. So we have touched on the importance of creating space to hear yourself think and to connect with your intuition in several recent episodes. And content consumption can really get in the way of being able to do that. That's one of the reasons why we take regular social media breaks and why we're hosting this challenge to help you take a break from social media. But consuming content does not have to always be a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's more about being intentional about how much content we consume and the types of content we consume. Because consuming content can be a great source of inspiration and can even be used as prompts to help you clarify your own ideas or take action towards your goals when used intentionally. I mean, I think Ellie and I both consider ourselves like creative beings, and we try to like fuel that version, that part of ourselves, because that is where we're probably like the healthiest, we're the strongest in business, like in multiple areas of our lives. And there's nothing I love more than consuming a great podcast episode, a great piece of content, and sitting with it and it allowing me to really think and me journal about it. And then maybe like go to a friend, go to Ellie and be like, can you listen to this? Can like, we have a conversation about this, but also taking the time to just journal about it a little bit too. It can really be like a great sense of inspiration, a great source of inspiration. But where we get into trouble a little bit is when we're not being intentional with it and we're just consuming and consuming and consuming, but not taking the time to sit and reflect on what we're consuming, why we're consuming it, thinking about what we're consuming, taking action on things if there's action items from consuming it, but just having just like this intentional sense of purpose within our content consumption, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And I like in the last, it's been several years at this point, but like several years ago, I started to really get more intentional about the content that I was taking in, like working on curating my news or my news feed, my social media feeds, like who I'm following, things like that, to really intentionally make an effort to make sure that the people that I'm following, the content that I'm taking in, is things that are inspiring me, and really like checking in with like, is like how I feel after consuming different content. Like, is this the kind of thing that's like giving me ideas? Is it the kind of thing that's like making me feel bad about myself or making me feel like I should be doing something differently than I am? And you know, those, what those sources of content are definitely like evolve over time in terms of like what season of life I'm in, what's going on for me personally, things like that. So what I find inspiring in one season may be different from another, but I have found that the more intentional I am about curating what I'm taking in, the more those like inspired ideas come just naturally as I'm like, you know, going about my business, you know, looking at social media, listening to podcast episodes, like more of that inspiration just naturally comes in.
Mm-hmm. And something that I do, which could be a tip for others, is you can have like a separate, like, let's just talk about Instagram for a minute. Like, you can have a separate Instagram account that is related to like you consuming content for a specific hobby or something else other than your business. So if you're a business owner and you have a brand Instagram account or a personal Instagram account. So for me, I have like a writer Instagram account that I use just for the purpose of connecting with other writers. And I only follow authors, other writers. So that way, when I want to switch into like a more like creative writing headspace and consume that kind of content, I'm not weeding through business content. I'm not weeding through news content, but I just flip to that account and see all of the inspiring authors that I follow and like what they're working on and what they're writing. And that has been really helpful to just have like a curated special place. And that's like the perfect thing that I love to turn on like over Christmas break. So it's like I've closed down shop for business, you know, before Christmas, and then kind of like taking 2 weeks off at the end of the year, beginning of the new year. And I'm not even taking in business content. Like, this is the world I'm living in, and it's just really creatively nurturing. So that can be just an example of like, maybe you love like home decorating. Maybe you're a baker. Doesn't mean that you have to post a ton of content. Like, you can just have a separate Instagram where that's all that you're following. You're following nothing but, you know, accounts that inspire you for a specific thing.
I love that idea as a way to like curate what you're looking at and like intentionally choose, like, this is what I want to be like in the headspace of thinking about right now. So I'm going to look and actively see your content here without having the distraction of other, like other types of content that I may be interested in a different headspace. So you touched on like seeking out this content that's like specifically outside of business. And that is something that I have become more intentional about in the last several years too. And one thing that I found is like, when I was in the headspace of like only listening to business related podcasts, like only following business related accounts, I would very easily and quickly get sucked into comparison, like shoulds of like, oh, I guess I should be doing this strategy. I guess I should be like implementing this thing, and just kind of like constantly feeling like behind, like I should be doing more. Like I, you know, would get like stuck in trying to figure out like, how am I supposed to implement, or like, what am I supposed to do with all this information I'm taking in? And one thing that I have found in sort of diversifying the types of content that I take in beyond just business related content on like, when it comes to like podcasts, books, social media, all the things, is that the business content that I do consume feels much more inspiring, because it's like one of the many buckets of content that I'm taking in. And so I can intentionally seek something out and listen to a business related podcast, and then I'm actually like inspired and pausing to like journal out ideas of like how I could take this idea and implement it how I want to implement it, rather than like when you're just taking in business content over and over and over all day, every day. It's like, there's no space for you to like slow down and actually think about like whether or not this is an idea I want to implement, how I might want to implement it, like in a way that makes sense for my business, that kind of thing.
Yes, I love that. And I think that that's just so important that we're always seeking inspiration outside of entrepreneurship or marketing only, that we are really seeking creativity in kind of like anything, you know, like films that we're watching, books that we're reading, podcasts that we're listening to that have nothing to do with business, and taking those types of concepts and ideas and seeing like, how can I, you know, translate this to my own, like, what about this is inspiring to me? What about this excites me? Many of the podcasts that I listen to that inspired me more for our own podcast are not other business related podcasts. They are podcasts outside of the business genre that I know you and I both are like, ooh, we love how these conversations like happen. We love how they do a take on this. We love how we do that. And so we're consciously like thinking about how can we make that our own? But it's not us like just seeking out what other business podcasts are doing. And that's why on our podcast, Supported CEO, we want it to be a mix of both. Like we're talking about business, but we're talking about life and really how to bridge that gap between like your life as a human and who you are as an entrepreneur. And for you to really nurture both sides of yourself so that way you can have a true life first vision, you know, for your life and business. And, you know, that's just really important.
Yeah. And like the more that I, like you were saying, the more I consume content that like truly inspires me that has nothing to do with business, that will often lead to like ahas and takeaways of like business decisions that I probably never would have gotten to if I hadn't been like inspired by something that had nothing to do with business. We've touched on a couple times, like the idea that content can actually be used as a journaling prompt or like trigger an idea that like starts a interesting journaling session. So to give you like a concrete example of a time that this has happened for me, like pretty recently, I was listening to a podcast. Jenny, actually, you recommended this podcast to me. So that's one thing that we're doing like very regularly is like listening to inspiring content together or like individually and then sharing it with each other. And then like that, you know, sharing the inspiration or sharing the episodes that one of us found inspiration from, and then like getting, you know, getting our own like experience of inspiration from that too. So you shared a podcast episode with me. It was Elizabeth Gilbert as a guest on somebody's podcast. I can't remember, but
it was a guest on the Bewildered podcast.
Yes. Martha Beck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Martha Beck's podcast. So Elizabeth Gilbert was a guest on that episode and was just listening to that episode, halfway paying attention. I think I was like, I don't know, doing the dishes or something like while I was listening to this podcast. And she said something that was, this is paraphrasing, but like, I always question when I hear a voice in my head telling me that I have to do something. She was talking about that on along those lines of like, if I'm telling myself I have to do something, that's usually a sign like I need to question that. And it wasn't a like a journal prompt for of her saying like, ask yourself this question, but hearing her say that, it triggered for me like, oh, like it was an aha of like a situation in business that we had both been feeling sort of stuck on, like, you know, a strategy decision, like, is this the right path? Is this the right path? And then mm-hmm. it just clicked in that moment of hearing her say that. It was like, oh, this is what we need to do in this business decision we've been trying to make. It's like, we've been kind of stuck here. And it's like, oh, I was realizing for myself, the path that I feel like we have to do is actually not the path that I want to do. So pause the episode, mm-hmm. grab my journal, started just like journaling out like what was coming up for me there. Then we had a conversation about it and like that helped us to find clarity and move forward. So that's just one example of like using content as a source of inspiration for your journaling. Sometimes like if you're listening and you're open as you're listening, it will sort of surprise you what thoughts come into your head or what like ahas will come from content that you weren't expecting. And in those moments, I'm always like, oh, pause, like got to go grab my journal and like journal this out in this moment while I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I don't know about you. I am a big believer that the things that are meant for us will find their way to us when we need them. You know, like the inspiration, yeah. the right podcast episode, or like I'm thinking through a thing and then a friend is like, oh, I listened to this podcast episode, like, and I thought of you, I wanted to share. And it's like, how did they know that that was a topic that I kind of really needed to hear on right now, but they didn't know that. And so I'm just a big believer that the right things will find their way to you. The right mentors will find their way to you. The right coaches, the right programs, like listening to that inner wisdom that you have, like when you do find yourself in this like position of taking in content and just having that deeper inner knowing of like, this content or this person is meant to cross my path right now because of like things I was already like experiencing. So I'm a big fan of just kind of like trusting the process, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And being open to just seeing what comes from the the content that you take in, you know, going in with no expectations, no expectations that like listening to this content or reading this post or following this person is going to bring you the answers, but just being open to enjoying the process and letting whatever inspiration happens to come from it come, and then seeing where that takes you.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to reiterate, content consumption is definitely not always a bad thing. And when you do it intentionally and seek out content that inspires you, it can be an incredible tool to help you connect with yourself, clarify your ideas, and tap into your intuition. We would really love to hear from you. If you resonated with this episode, please take a moment to share it with a friend who might enjoy it too. And something that really helps us is if you would go to your podcast app and leave us a 5-star review. This really helps us be able to continue to reach others and do more of what we love. Until next time, stay supported.